T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So let's talk Justin Trudeau. I just responded to one texter said, we don't live in Canada, so we really shouldn't talk about it. We're an opinion-driven show. We're not real far from Canada, by the way. Our signal goes well into Canada, but I don't care if this was France or elsewhere. If it's germane to a topic which we think people are interested in, we will discuss, and clearly this is a topic which is generating conversation, I think, for very valid reasons. You have a president, a leader of a country who has been contrasted over and over again with the president of our country. He is in the middle of a difficult reelection campaign. And not one, not two, but three pictures have emerged over 24 hours where he has darkened his face. Have we added another one? You're going to the mic.
I just didn't know.
I was thinking maybe we've added a fourth.
Is anybody going to be surprised?
No, right? So he insists, among the many comments he said, that he's an ally regardless of the racist photos that emerge. Even though we've moved forward in significant ways as a government, what I did, the choice I made hurt people I thought was an ally. I see that from the layers of privilege that I have. He's talking about the criticism I receive. I'll just add to it here. I recognize this is something absolutely unacceptable to do, and I appreciate calling it makeup, but it was blackface, and that's just not right. It's something that people live with, this kind of discrimination, and far too many people do because of the color of their skin or the history of their origins or the language or the religious face on a regular basis. And I don't see that from the layers of privilege that I have. And for that, I'm deeply sorry, and I apologize. He is handling it different than Governor Northam, because let's not forget that, Dan and Adam, you had the picture emerge, blackface. He says, yes, it's me. Then he has a press conference. I'm not sure it's me. That was also the same press conference where he was about to dance. He was about to moonwalk. Remember that, Carter? And his wife said, no, you're really not going to do that because this was a part of a Michael Jackson contest. Then they conducted this huge investigation to try to determine if it was him in the photo, and they couldn't. I don't know. I still don't understand that, how they couldn't determine. It was on his page as he was graduating from medical school. He had to be picking the pictures out, right? He just randomly picked one and said, you know, I don't know if that's me or not, but I think I should put that out there.
That would almost be worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be way worse. And Adam, at the time, we said, see ya. Clock's ticking.
For sure.
You're out. And he just slow walked it. And he slow walked it. And then you also had information come out of allegations, other people in office, who also wore blackface. Then you had allegations against the lieutenant governor that he had sexually assaulted multiple women. They were interviewed on CBS, by the way. Did you miss that last week when that lieutenant governor is suing CBS for $400 million, saying wasn't true, and you gave these individuals a voice? He's a public figure. That's going to be an awfully tough one.
Difficult.
Right? But are people going to be consistent? And how much leeway do you give someone if, in this case, these are offensive without question? And I get that what people may have done at one point, there may have been greater acceptance at different points in our lives, because there is. Let's even look at how people view same-sex marriage from 10, 20 years ago. Again, I say this a lot. In 2008, when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were running to win the nomination, that's 2008. They both were opposed to same-sex marriage, right? when we look at the context of black or brown face right now, Adam, it's deplorable. It's disgusting. I'm not saying it was common. I'm not here to defend it. But the pushback to it, 40s, 50s, 60s, was different. You know, Northam took heat because it was in the 80s. This is Justin Trudeau, even more recent than that. He can.
The early 2000s.
Yes, yeah. He can, Adam, go to individuals and say, look at what I've done regarding my actions. Look at what I've done regarding trying to create further opportunities and greater treatment. So if supporters of his who are left of center compared to supporters of the governor of Virginia who are right of center, and those supporters who are left are going to say, well, in the main, in the total, what Trudeau has done allows me to give him greater leeway. Is that hypocrisy, Carter? Or is that just factually judging, you know, what they think he's actually done as the prime minister compared to what, you know, the governor's done as, you know, running the state?
Well, it's factually judging, I would think. And it's also, I think you have to look at the context of what those photos, I mean, yes, I mean, we can all agree that in this day and time that putting, you know, black or brown paint on your face to make you appear as a minority or a person of color is in certainly, at the very least, poor taste. You also have to look at the time and the context of, I guess, what it was. You know, if it's somebody mocking an African-American, that's one thing. If it's, like in this case, as somebody, you know, is part of a costume for a party, yes, absolutely, 100% poor taste.
Yep.
It's something you don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that should be looked at differently, I think. I mean, there's different levels of it. I think just like when we had the Me Too movement and the different levels of offense.
Yes.
There are certainly different levels of offense that I think at a certain point we're all kind of grouped together. And I think the same has to be dealt with in this case.
I just, to me, and I get your point about, you know, look at everything that he's done. But the pushback to me on that is, yeah, and you've now basically put a taint on all of that stuff because you were dumb enough to do something that's in the year 2001 or the early 2000s, there's no way you don't know that this is a bad idea. There's no way.
You know it way better than you knew in the 1980s or
way
whatever.
Way better than 1950s, yeah, or right. You know, when the Sambo character was created.
Yep.
And I don't disagree with Adam. You know, dressing up as a character from Aladdin is different than dressing up as a Sambo character, which was absolutely mocking,
yes,
African-Americans. That's different. But to me, it's not different enough, and especially given when he did this. Okay, great, you did all those things in government, and I don't want to take away all the credit for it, but you've screwed that all up now.
Among the tests, talking about Trudeau, media short and interesting news. No, this is fairly compelling when the prime minister of the country, or by the way, we border, is maybe facing the end of his term. And the effect that it has on this country, let alone this state, and then the contrast to how it played in this country in Virginia just months before. This one, Adam, turning off your show today because you badmouth Cousins and now Trudeau. Bye-bye. It's a heck of a combo. You think Kirk Cousins has ever been mentioned with Justin Trudeau before?
They're both handsome devils.
They both are. Chad, we have to stop regarding what happened 30 years ago. That was acceptable, and now people have to lose your job. We did a play in South Dakota in the 90s, a picture, and blackface was in it. We didn't think about it. Let's see. A friend of mine recently greatly admired Sammy Davis Jr., dressed up as him for Halloween several years ago. Does that make him racist? People need to lighten up and not take everything out of context.
When he dresses up as Sammy, did he go in blackface?
I think that's what he's telling us.
Because then, yeah, it is.
In the 60s, we would say that it would be more common, though, that somebody,
sure,
did that, right?
Absolutely.
Right? Which is kind of our point here on the 2001. If somebody's this progressive on issues like this and is doing this, there does seem to be, at the lightest, a tone deafness about this, right? If he had a huge lead, you know, this is a hit. but he still probably overcomes it. But he's in a tight race already.
And he had some major problems before this came
out, too. Yes, correct, right? And I don't think you're going to see saying, I'm going to vote for the other side, but it just causes the energy on his side. The president on what he said, what he didn't say, where this whistleblowing incident is going, and then other non-political items also when we come back. It's 16 past 2 on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Always check us out, too. Easiest way to check us out, obviously, is listen on the radio. But another simple way is on my phone. I literally listen to our station every day on my phone at some point through the radio.com app. Just go to whatever app store you have. It'll take you about 30 seconds to download it. It's a fabulous app to have. Radio.com. Gender reveal parties overrated. Sorry. I mean, I want it to work out great for Paul, right?
They're a big deal now, though.
They're everywhere. I mean, can anybody just say, hey, we're having a boy? I don't think you can. It's like, I don't think you can just, you know,
propose. That's it? That's it?
It's social media, right? I mean, everything's got to be a production. I mean, prom proposals, I mean, everything is now, it's got to be a big thing.
Yeah.
Because you got to do it for the gram.
Yeah, the whole thing, right? So, again, I mean, for what you want to do, you get to do. We also get to comment. And, I mean, it's like when we get to prom time, everything just, you can't just ask. It's just, you're right, the Instagram, Instagramification of America. So we have this whistleblower complaint. That has popped up over the last 18 hours or so regarding the president's interaction with a foreign leader. They've narrowed down the five foreign leaders. Two of them are Little Rocket Man and Vlad. That included a promise that the president may have made. You have the Intelligence Community Inspector General determine the complaint was credible. Troubling enough to consider a matter of urgent concern, but the Director of National Intelligence has refused to share details about Trump's alleged transaction with lawmakers, touching off this legal fight. CNN has taken it further, saying the DOJ and the White House were pushing back and even any of this coming to light. The president, of course, is going to tweet about it. Says, fake news story out there never ends. Virtually any time I speak on the phone to a foreign leader, I understand there'll be many people listening from various U.S. agencies, not to mention those from the other country itself. No problem. Knowing all of this, is anybody dumb enough to believe that I would say something inappropriate with a foreign leader while on such a potentially heavy populated call? I am. Okay. I am. This is the same guy who said things to the Russians while in the Oval Office. This is the same guy when he met with Vladimir Putin and he had the interpreter there. He tore up the interpreter's notes, right? So there's no record of it. I have no clue if what he did here is way too far. The fact that the inspector general determined that it was of urgent concern, yeah. Could it be an agenda against the president? Possible, right? But now when you have the White House and other people pushing back, as opposed to you put it through the normal process, let very few people see this, and if it turns out it's nothing, it's nothing. And you move on. Because any president, including Donald Trump, has extraordinary leeway to say borderline almost anything they want, because guess what? If the president says it, it's declassified. But when he's talking about how far I would go, I think a lot of us are like, I'm not sure I'd be saying it that particular way. But, you know, when you're trying to cover it up, and you're trying to push back as opposed to here is the normal process, that just raises eyebrows. So it'll turn into another partisan battle, and we'll see, you know, because now you do have the Democrats all fired up about it. When at this point, we don't know. It could be something that smart people would hear and say, this guy just completely overreacted, or smart people could hear it and think, wait a second, you cannot say that. But when you're suppressing what would normally happen, that just raises the specter. Headline here, gents. Hollywood's latest obsession is aging action stars. Do you see what movie's coming out, Adam? I think it's, it is tomorrow.
Is it the Rambo?
It is the Rambo one.
Last Blood.
73-year-old Sylvester Stallone. And yes.
Last Blood, unless it does well, and then there'll be another Last Blood.
Last Blood, too.
One more drop was left. He's not done yet. Yeah, he's fit. He's huge. Yeah. He's enormous.
And it'll make a bunch of money.
If it doesn't here, it'll make it worldwide, right?
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it will here.
You know what I think we need more of, and I think in kind of a tongue-in-cheek, which would be very successful? I just watched a video this morning. It was on my Twitter feed. It was like from Men's Health.
Okay.
And it's just this camera that comes into Arnold Schwarzenegger's, like, his gym, and he's going through his fridge, what he has. He's very funny.
Arnold is.
And he gets it, you know?
Is he poking at himself?
Oh, totally. And he's still in great shape.
Yep.
And I think Arnold, we need more of Arnold.
He was the governor. If we had this minor change with the Constitution where you didn't have to be born in the United States of America, he would have run.
Sure.
There's no doubt. The Republican Party was different at that point because Arnold is very libertarian. The president would call him what? Rhino. If he would have run in 08... In that one, does he get the nomination? Would we have witnessed? Was he governor at that point? I guess I would have to look.
I don't know. I mean, Bush had a machine there.
I'm saying 08, though.
08.
So that's McCain.
That's McCain.
Against Barack Obama.
Then it was McCain's turn.
I don't know. McCain was pretty done at some point. I mean, he was like fourth or fifth.
By default.
Yeah, he won because everybody was falling apart. Again, I think John McCain's an American hero.
Yeah.
But I'm with Adam. I think just Romney and the others just weren't very good. I mean, we probably were ready for a celebrity at that point, too.
Maybe.
You know? Donald obviously different celebrity. But comparing Arnold's breath at that point to Donald Trump, there was no comparison.
How many Expendable movies were there? Was it three of them?
I think.
Because that was the whole premise of those movies was just let's get all the 80s action stars together and blow a bunch of stuff up, right?
Right.
And those all made, you know, a bunch of money. I mean, this Rambo's going to be fine.
Well, and the thing is, Adam, it's about they all have to think now, what does it make here? What does it make worldwide? That's why the movie business in the summer is just Marvel this, Marvel that, and cranking these things out. And no, I'm not going to watch a second of it. But if I'm in the business to make dollar bills, I'm not surprised. So they'll continue to come out, you know. Heck, Linda Hamilton's returning the Terminator, right? So, and Arnold is not in that in any way, I don't think, which I guess surprised me a little bit. 29 past 2. News update from Adam. A little traffic and weather, and then Dara in a matter of moments on CCO. She's here, as always, on Twitter, at Dear Dara, by the magazine. Right?
Yeah, subscribe. Even.
Yes.
You should do all those things. That's how my kids and I get health insurance. I got a special code I can give you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, we have more food hall news. Are we about to be inundated with food halls in the metro area? Is that way too strong to say that?
Oh, I wish I could quote it. I read the Dopia statement today. It was like, the cultural energy is all about food halls. You know, I don't know if this – I sort of agree with your premise. We are inundated with food halls right now. We like choice. We don't like to pay too much. We like to walk around.
Yep. We like them nearby.
We like them nearby. On the other hand, this was a food hall, and they basically shut it down, and they put up another food hall in its place. So it's like 1 + -1 equals – You know, we have the same amount of food halls. But this one seems better. I got to say that there was this very cynical concept. They brought in these people who
do food service at Rosedale.
Yep. So this is over now, so don't worry about this currently. But they brought in this group of people that do, like, food service for racetracks on the East Coast or something. And these people were very cynical, as you can imagine. And they put together this thing. It was like, looked like it was 16 restaurants. It was like, we're a coffee roastery-ish thing, and we're the best sushi in the world and the best pizza in the world. Also have the best barbecue. And just from the logos, it looked like 16 independent restaurants, but it was I don't know, it's like something in there, like astroturfing, greenwashing. It was Potemkin Village. That, like, it was a fake 16 restaurants. It wasn't 16 restaurants. It was just 16 interesting signs.
Yeah.
You know, around one kind of a swindly, you know. Anyway, well, good for the people of Roseville who said, I don't like this at all. I'm not spending my money here. Mm-hmm. And I applaud you, everyone that didn't spend money at that. And so Rosedale shut it down and used the exciting build-out that they did to welcome in a bunch of actual restaurateurs who live here, who know how to do stuff. So there's just a bunch of exciting stuff and one or two head-scratchers. So Josh Toma is bringing a little Smack Shack up there.
Oh, good. Oh,
that's fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, how many times you're having a... You're having a difficult day. You're dragging your kids around school shopping. You deserve a lobster roll.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you? That seems right. Justin Sutherland, our starry chef, is kind of poised to be the next Andrew Zimmern from here. He has two restaurants, one of which is okay. This is one of the head scratchers. He's a genius of a chef, but he's doing a hummus bar, and I don't even think like a hummus bar is a thing. He does. So apparently you go in, you'll get your hummus, and then you can get it all decorated with vegetables or fried chickpeas or all these things.
Are they seeing these elsewhere in the country?
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. Okay. You can get what they call, quote unquote, a blinged out hummus at World Street Kitchen. Super fun. You know, it's like a way that they do it in the Middle East where you put a chili oil on top and a bunch of fried chickpeas. It's only like, you know, another couple bucks more than regular hummus. It's like, I think, $2 extra.
Okay.
So it's super fun. It's like, oh, this is a really deluxe hummus. I love it.
Right.
But I don't know that I'm ever like, we're going out for hummus. So we'll see if that flies or not. And then he's doing a ramen and fried chicken together concept. And that's kind of Japanese street food. He grew up with a Japanese grandmother and kind of reflects fondly upon that. Says they're going to be making their own ramen noodles. So that seems exciting. That'll be a good, you know, it's cold a lot of months of the year. Go and get some noodles. And then this one is so Jason Matheson is a name perhaps familiar to people that watch television and see Jason.
Yes.
And
he's a successful radio show, too.
Yeah, lovely celebrity, local celebrity, and apparently has a family biscuit recipe that he's been perfecting over the years. Brought in Adrian Odom, who's one of my favorite local bakers, and they're doing a biscuit sandwich restaurant. So that's just, I bet it could be good.
I
like good biscuits. I just find it very odd. Like, well, maybe you have a family. You got any family recipes you want to bust out into a kiosk?
Hey, the guy's having a lot of success. Why not try?
No, but I mean you, Chad Hartman. If you were going to bring in a family recipe,
Well, you know, my mother and sister are both great cooks, right? So
they got a specialty?
I'm not going to say.
You're not going to say?
Now you've now given me an idea. Well, I'm going to give that out here on the radio.
Yeah, okay.
You're going to have to pay me to have the food.
I think I would go to, like, Chad Hartman's Chicken Superia or something.
But is he calling it Jason Matheson? Is he using his name in this or not? Because that's a debate people have. People say, well, if you find out I have it, great, or should I use my name to bring you in, you know?
Gosh, I'm looking at it real quick. I actually don't remember. I just, in my mind, it just went straight to like Jason Matheson's thing. Oh, and there's going to be a Grand Ole Creamery, which is pretty groovy. So it's not named after. It's called Betty and Earl. Betty and Earl's Biscuit Chicken. So
I like that better.
Those are his grandparents. So
okay, so let me ask you about the Dayton's Project. Okay, that's another, you know, food emporium, right?
I wish I had one of those like turbines with a jewel in the middle, and I could just be like, one day it will open.
I mean,
I feel
is this
that,
like before we both die? Will this open? I mean, they now call. They've got the Dayton sign outside, and we all got
that's measurable progress.
Excited by that. I mean, that took what, an hour to put the sign up, but what's going on inside?
No one knows. I mean, it's just really, it is a black box. They don't return phone calls and they don't want to talk about it. So
does that make you think this might not be going the right way or?
No. If there's one thing I've learned about infusions of money outside of Minneapolis into this market is that the things that money does are mysterious and take a long time, right? So
yeah,
you know, we've seen all kinds of weird real estate plays drag out forever because we're like not the priority. Their money is just all sitting somewhere and earning interest and they don't care. So I'm not worried, nor am I. Do I have any information? So I guess this will be my last appearance.
Yes, that's it. We'll bring in another person. Okay, we got a distillery in the North Loop. I mean, the North Loop adds something all the time.
Yeah, I actually started to write
that. Is there still room in the North Loop to add stuff?
Okay, so this is, well, obviously there's always an empty storefront as retail continues to crater.
Yeah, that's true.
But, all right, so this is kind of a weird one. Remember when people were afraid of breweries before we changed all the laws?
Yeah.
And one of the arguments was they're going to take market share away from bars. Okay. Fast forward to this week's news. The people, the husband and wife couple that own Lawless Distilling, now the wife has sold her interest in it, and she has taken over this space that's right in the kind of Moose and Sadie's Monte Carlo part of the North Loop.
Mm-hmm.
Not insignificant. She says it's small. It doesn't seem that small to me. And she is just going to be serving kegged cocktails out of this space. She's going to open a distiller. The distiller is going to be called Stillheart. I understand that it kind of comes out of this, like, be still, my heart. But I feel like Stillheart is not a good name because it sounds like that's not what you want your heart to be. Your heart should continue to be beating. A still heart is a bad situation. Maybe I'm just doing this too long. I don't know. But so she's going to be opening this thing, Stillheart. She's going to be using her distilling staff from Lawless. And she's just going to be doing what bootleggers did. She's going to be making her own booze and selling it on site. And, you know, yes, she was absolutely going to be competing with every other bar that has to pay, you know, full retail for a bottle of Grey Goose. It's very this is the first time in this whole distilling thing that I've or brewing thing where all of a sudden I've been like, oh, wait a minute. This is a clear violation of the spirit of the law.
So what do you think?
Well, that's what happens. You write laws and people test them.
Yeah.
It's like raptors at the fences.
Exactly. I mean, I'm all for testing. Let's see how it plays out. It is 2:45. Plenty more for Dara. You want to ask a question for Dara, you can at any point. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. 2:45, Linda's Construction Time Check. Time to call for a free estimate on Season Guard or Infinity by Marvin Windows. Mr. Cook, abandoning ship tomorrow. I said ship. A full feisty Friday Shaletta back. My father, plenty of other good stuff. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Let's take a couple calls for Dara. We don't do that very often, but let's mix in here. Matt, you are first up on WCCO.
Hey there. I'm wondering, Dara, you being from the New York area, is Shopson's worth my time?
Oh, how much time you got? I don't know. What's the, I think so. I think any of those kind of historically important places, I think you got to get in now before they go away.
Yeah.
So that's.
Tell us about this place.
Do you want to take it away?
It's. I've heard things. I've never been there, but the owner who, I guess he died a year ago or so, but he came up with like 1,000 items literally on the menu.
Mm.
And he has a pretty foul mouth and a bit of a temper. And one of his rules is that if you parties larger than 4 people will never be seated. And Calvin Trillin wrote about him. That's where I first heard about him.
Oh, okay.
And he said that pretending to be a party of 3 that happened to have come in with a party of 2 is a very bad idea.
Yeah.
There's a movie made about him called I Like Killing Flies that was very interesting.
Interesting. Thanks, Matt.
But anyway, thanks.
Appreciate the phone call. Dave, you're next. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Dara. Just wondering if you've heard about Hope Breakfast that is supposed to open up this weekend in St. Paul, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about it. It's
Thanks,
one
Dave.
Of these kind of social entrepreneurship, doing good in the community kind of places. I'm all for it. We'll see how it goes.
And maybe you'll check it out and give us further information.
Perhaps.
I saw this. You saw this. The St. Cloud kid, his lunch went viral. It looked awful. It looked like a lot of school lunches that are awful.
No, it looked worse. It was a hot dog bun with some melted cheese on it, and then they gave him like a peel-off top. It was a her, actually, and it gave her a peel-off top of marinara sauce, and you're supposed to dunk your hot dog bun in your marinara sauce.
I got to tell you, a lot of the lunches my three kids have had in the district I like are close.
And they're awful. They do a lot better than that, I will say. But it's it was $3. I have to say, like, as a everyone else is outraged. Okay, I'm outraged about the nutrition. Yeah. I am generally, I believe that we should just pay for all kids to have lunch at school because I don't see any benefit in trying to teach people that are starving or malnourished or anything else. I think those people are disruptive, not learning. It's not in my interest as a citizen to be hanging out with a bunch of people that are starving to death. I not what I'm doing with my time. I'd like to, I think, be more efficient to just feed children. Anyway, but on top of that,
we got
to
come up with the money.
We come up with the money. How about Jeff Bezos? We could start taxing him. How about that? I pay more for my Amazon Prime than he's contributing to our school system. Anyway, so I think that they are also, for $3, making a huge profit on that. That's like 29 cents worth of ingredients when you're paying food service costs.
Right.
I think it is obscene that they are trying to make money on malnourishing children. It's ridiculous. I'm against
it. What I thought was so funny, too, is when Michelle Obama did jump into this and it became a huge thing. And now the folks who just didn't like Michelle Obama, or didn't like Barack Obama, didn't like Democrats, just pushed back. This is a horrible idea. Oh, yeah, it's horrible to have anybody on the planet, let alone children, eat healthier and find a way to make it also pretty good. The execution may have been all over the place, but the concept is 100% accurate. And of all things to get mad at, having our kids eat better food, you're better than that.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Like, you're punishing the children because our parents don't earn enough money. What's the long game here? Where are you in 12 years with this exciting plan? You've just got angry, malnourished people everywhere. It's not working out for us.
Okay, Whole30. The Whole30 is still out there. It's popular. People are trying it all the time. People are going back to it. So you're telling me the story that Chipotle's had an interesting run here the last few years of publicity and problems and recovery. Listen, when I go by Chipotle's, they're still packed. So they still must be doing pretty well.
And I will say, like, I thought that they got a lot more guff for their food safety handling, whatever, problems then. Because the bald truth of it is that the most likely place you're going to get sick in the food supply chain is stuff that's not cooked. And they have a bunch of stuff that's not cooked. Also, that we're talking about lettuce and cilantro, green onions, you know, all of those things. And then the problem there is that those things are actually really healthy for us. So it's not like, I'm going to just go to a full boiled diet. That's going to work out for me. So I have some sympathy for children. Anyway, so meanwhile, the whole culture is very busy frying chicken and putting it on, like, buns that are donuts. I don't understand that. It's not
delicious. That's the latest KFC item.
Oh, it's it's not good for you people. It's like I feel like those foods should just only be at the state fair. That's the only time we do it, and then the rest of the year we eat like normal.
But we know it. If we're going to KFC, we're not going for healthy, right?
You're not going for healthy, but it's not delicious. Have you ever had fried chicken on a donut or a burger on a donut?
I have no desire.
I have had these things because I am America's canary in a coal mine, and they're gross. It's just gross. You can't eat like five bites of it.
So you're telling me one of our high-end donut places and Revival fried chicken. So it's great fried chicken.
Gross.
It just, the combo just doesn't work.
I have bought with my own money, not reimbursed, a jam bun at World Street Kitchen, which is a glam doll donut stuffed with ice cream. Two things that are delicious separately, gross together. Yeah. It's too much.
Some combos don't work.
It's just like your body just doesn't really want 7,000 calories in 10 seconds. You know, like it's just too much.
Seems abrupt.
Anyway, so nobody's ready for that. Unless you took down a mastodon, you're going to build your whole day around it. But speaking of paleo and
Whole30. For those folks who are thinking about that, here you go. You got your place.
Chipotle has brought out, as of yesterday, a special menu, which is either with that Whole30, which is this whole, you know, you're not having grains and you're not having this. It's kind of hard to do. I know a bunch of people that have done it. And then also this paleo thing.
A bunch of people in the studio have done it.
And keto. And all those three. So those three kind of difficult to work out, make it work diets, you can just go on to Chipotle.com or whatever it is, punch it in. And after I sent that to you this morning, I was, of course, hadn't eaten breakfast. I was looking at it. I went and got myself a whole 30, Chipotle salad because they're in my office building.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
Totally good. It was cheaper than the other fancy salads in the building, too, which I was surprised about.
So is this, in your view, a very smart idea?
Yes. This is absolutely.
It's not just a publicity play.
I don't think this is a publicity play at all. I think this is the smartest thing I've seen anybody do. Because if you talk to anybody that's doing those different diets, they're really hard to do. They're especially hard to do on the road. And if I happen to have a business trip and I don't know, what's happening in Indiana, where to get my whole 30 foods, like this is just going to be.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. It's one thing if you're going to buy in at your apartment, your condo, your home, and you have access to grocery store. But if you travel and you're trying to do that, it's a lot tougher.
And you're in airports and you're in all kinds of those transit spaces.
All right, we got about 60 seconds or so. The pumpkin spice obsession is showing no signs of relenting. Now you're suggesting there's a West Coast bias to it.
Yes. HuffPo went and did a bunch of data mining, and they figured out where this is all coming from. It's coming from California. So this is what happens if you don't have winter California. You become obsessed with unanchored associations with wonderful things like fall. So we in Minnesota, we have fall, so we don't have to be all freaked out about pumpkin spice. In California, San Diego, that's what they do.
Take it. Take it out. I'm sure they'll be fine, in about 4 months when it's 40 below here and it's 72 out there. As always, you'll be on Saturday, 11 a.m. What do you have?
Gretchen Perbix, who runs Sweetland Orchard. We're going to talk all the apple things, the hard cider, the go in and pick your own, all the good apple stuff.
Excellent. Thank you, Dara.
Thank you.
Podcasts. I know I've received some emails on this. We had a text today. We've been having some computer issues. We think this is going to be resolved promptly. In fact, for today, Dan has been figuring out a way to solve it for today's show.
I've basically been MacGyver today.
You have been MacGyver. You are Richard Dean Anderson. There's no doubt about it. He'll blow up the building later, preferably after I left. So we'll also try to circle back and give you some of the previous shows, including Brent Musburger when he was on yesterday. All right, I'm out of here. Enjoy Jordana coming up next on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.